Blog Talk Radio.
Mama Etta.
This is Mama Etta coming to you from Mama Etta's Corner. I hope you're having a very, very good day. Currently, it's 69 degrees and sunny here in Las Vegas, and it's expected to get warmer again very soon. Mama Etta didn't get to you on Sunday because she was on a pity party. The business for our play fell through, which means it's not happening right now, and I'm back to square one. But Les Brown said a setback is a setup for a comeback. So just know that Mama Etta is out there looking for funding again, and I know I will find it. Anyway, today in our studio, we have a good friend who I've had to bring back, and that's Jerry King. Jerry, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing well, and you are going to come back. You're going to bounce back, and you're going to bounce up.
All right. Thank you, my darling. Thank you very, very much. You know the work we've put into it, and for this to happen so suddenly, it just knocked me out of my box. But, you know, I have to keep going because that's who I am. Anyway, I have you back on my show because I got emails and messages from people who had questions about our interview the last time. Those of you who did not hear the interview with Jerry King, I wouldn't call it controversy, but there were many questions about some of the things that he said in regards to the music business and as far as the black community is concerned. But before we do anything, he has a song called Wise Up, and that was done with your band, Jerry?
The Second Resurrection Band, which was also known as the Joe Tex Show Band. This is the second coming of Joe Tex, and thus the name, the Second Resurrection.
Okay.
And this is one of the we recorded this in Hollywood, California.
Well, this song has a lot to do with this subject matter, and so I want to do something a little different. I'm going to play, differently. I'm going to play the song for you to hear and enjoy because it's a nice dance tune, and we're going to discuss this song and what it means to Jerry and what it can mean for the music industry. Here we go. The name of the song is Wise Up.
Don't know which way we wanna go.
have to do that. Anyways, Jay, what does the song mean, and why did you write it?
This song basically was written by the whole band, and it was it epitomizes the political climate and the structures that we're going through through America, the controversies and the contradictions that we're going through America. I mean, America has always been in this controversial situation, and we've always had to we've always been in this contradiction. So the real bottom line is that we have to rise up, we have to wise up, we have to, you know, that's why we're stressing education, that's why we're stressing this voting, exercising our voting rights and voting, and putting people who represent, because a lot of times, you know, we, you know, just like with radio, and that, because that's really where we're going with this music industry, we are so underrepresented by stations that we so overwhelmingly support.
Okay.
And we need to switch that around. We need to have representation. We need to have a voice through these mediums that we so heavily support. But a lot of these stations, especially corporate radio, seems to be consistently our voices, you know, and that's why we're always in this situation of not hearing our voices heard, because we're continuously being shut out. And go ahead.
Is that part of the entertainment apartheid? Because that was a few questions I got in regards to that, entertainment apartheid.
Entertainment.
And no one seemed to have heard that statement before.
Well, entertainment apartheid, that was concocted from Nelson Mandela overcoming the apartheid in
South
Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And apartheid, or apartheid, however you want to pronounce it, basically is what you call organized segregation. And when you look at everything that the independent music industry is going through, you will see that the independent industry is going through organized segregation. Because everything is overwhelmingly surrounded by major industry, being on major industry platforms through major industry labels, major industry producers, major industry artists. All of the money is going into those systems because they have completely blocked out with this organized systemic system of keeping the independent music, independent artists, independent producers, writers, and the whole infrastructure of the independent music industry out of contention. So that's the reason why we came up with this entertainment apartheid, this organized segregation. Because, I mean, let's face this. And I have to be specific about black music, because in most cases, black independent really means black-owned labels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's face these financial situations. The black music is a $1 trillion export. And if we're not in that picture, we're not getting any of that revenue. in the R&B millennial generation, the last report was over $12.5 billion for black music in R&B, pop, and hip-hop through the millennials. $12.5 billion that we're not getting that revenue. The Southern Soul market, the grown folks market, that age group of 35 to 65, it's a $50 billion a year consumer base. The major media stations refuse to play music that this particular audience wants, and they refuse to play it because it's owned by independent black labels with independent black artists.
That's a strong statement that you just made.
All you have to do is look to see, look on the charts, or look who's here playing. Because see what happens when you look around. Everybody says, "Well, they're playing black artists." Yes, they are playing black artists, but almost all of those artists are on white labels or foreign-owned labels. They're not on black independent labels. They are on white-owned labels or foreign-owned labels. That means that revenue is not coming to us, even though this particular audience is begging for this music. They're begging for it. And you have very limited. I mean, some of these stations only play anywhere between 2, 4, 6, or 8 hours one day a week. You're not going to generate revenue back to our community. None of this music or none of this revenue capitulated from our music is going to be redirected back into our community. So you have a $50 billion audience that major media is totally ignoring. Now, when you include the baby boomers in with this audience, now remember the baby boomers, even though they're, you know, this average age of 60.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up on Southern Soul. They grew up on Sam Cooke and Otis Redding and James Brown and the
Temptations. Record labels like Epic and Atlantic and
So they grew up on this music. Now, if you include this audience in with the African American audience or the Black American audience of the 35 to 65 year age group, now you have a $7 trillion audience, consumer base, $7 trillion with that combined audience, and major media still ignores that audience, which goes back to the entertainment apartheid, simply based upon all of that music, all of the new music, all of the new artists, all of the new artists are controlled, written, and produced by black-owned labels. This is where you get the economic apartheid system set up. This is the reason why that money is not being redirected into the black community, for the fear of empowerment to the black community are creating competition.
No wonder I got so many emails. This is something else.
Wait a minute. Now you have the concert and festival industry. Concerts and festivals contribute $6 billion to the U.S. economy, that we get none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you add all of this money up and you see that these systems, people think These are theories. These are conspiracy theories. These are not theories. All of these foundational blocks are very real. They are not theories. These are real foundational blocks. These are real systems that are designed for unequal outcomes. They are designed unequally, and they are designed to have unequal outcomes. But the real bottom line, just like I talked to some Southern Soul artists, they said, well, we want to cross over. We want to get out of the box. Now, they said, well, we listen to these stations, and they're playing Southern Soul artists. Are they playing, you know, these older black artists? I said, no, they're not. They're not really playing. I said, they are playing older music, but they're not playing viable artists who can come back to be in concert, and not to be insensitive, but all the artists that they are playing are dead. So you can't, this music or this revenue or the empowerment of our community cannot get out of the box because everybody that they are playing is in the box.
You have a way with words. That's a terrible thing. That's very insensitive, but I see where you're coming from.
But that's what's happening. But see, here's the problem. See, when you're playing these artists, these deceased artists, that means you are knocking out a space that a live, viable artist could be in. And again, I'm not trying to dishonor the accomplishments of these artists, but there should be some type of mix where people who are you know, on the playing field. See, right now we have a very,
you know,
very
question is with you is, and this is an Etta question. Why don't you do something? Why don't you?
Oh, we are. But we have to work as a community. One person's not going to be able to do it themselves, and we have to overcome our own social dysfunctions. You know, I'm quiet about it because I don't want the world to know that we have our own social dysfunctions within the black community.
I think the world knows it.
You think the world already knows?
Anytime you look at a Trump rally and you see a black face sitting up there, the world knows it.
Okay. But we are so concerned about somebody beating us out of the box, or how can we hustle our own brother or sister versus becoming allies, comrades, and working together. We have to work together as a force. But we're so worried about other things. We're so worried about things that make no sense, and we want to keep talking about things that make no sense. Just like when you talk to me, I'm only talking about one thing, and that is the breaking of one CD, one artist. And you know why, Mama Etta? Because the whole music industry will be changed. But this is why there's such a fight.
Well,
also,
when you say breaking of one artist or one song or CD, what do you mean?
Well, that is breaking one song that will basically go mainstream. And when it goes mainstream, all of the problems that the independent music industry has had, they will all fall over like dominoes, because it will create a music industry infrastructure.
Well, see, isn't the mainstream those record companies, distributors, and all of that that we have, like Sony and Elustra and all these people? What happens with that? I don't understand.
But they're not, okay. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what happens. Number one, once you have a certain amount of people that we can work as a community who actually knows the business and knows how to do things. See, when people talk about breaking records or music or anything, they keep talking about what the majors are doing. They keep talking about how to get you into the majors. It's just like a lot of people, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people come to Atlanta because Atlanta is perceived as the music industry of the South or the new music capital of the United States. When they get here, they're trying to figure out, well, I keep hearing about Atlanta being this music capital, but I can't find it. Now, what in the industry, you want to have people who are in the know who can mentor people. But in the industry, instead of being mentored, they're being hustled. And they're being hustled because they don't know, and they're falling for the first scheme of anything that goes down. See, just like when I'm talking on Facebook or something like that, people do not respond because a lot of people who want to keep the hustle going on, they do not want me to pull the curtain back on them like little Toto in the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want me to expose the smoke and mirrors because they have to keep their hustle on. And what they keep doing is trying to tell you that, hey, I can get you into the majors. Everything that you hear is gravitated around, I can get you into the majors. Well, here's the problem. There are no majors in the United States except one. The majors are foreign labels. Warner, Time Warner, they're not here. I can get you on the charts. Okay, well, then you find Billboard. There's a billboard.com, but you find Billboard. Where can you send your CD? Where can you call them? Where can you go to their office? You can't find them. So there's a system that's designed for you not to get into that. But again, when I say this, here's the reason why I say the breaking of one. Any time that you have one CD that can break into, let's say, the mainstream, where so many people just love this song, so many people will pick up this song, industries are started in these particular cities. Motown, when Motown first started, they broke one record on local Detroit radio, and it created an industry, only second to the auto industry in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The Sound of Philadelphia, they broke one record on local Philadelphia radio, and during their heyday, they created an infrastructure in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Chess Records broke one record on Chicago radio, and during their mm-hmm. heyday, they had a music industry. Sun Records broke Elvis Presley in
right.
Memphis, Tennessee. They created
right.
rock and roll, controversial with Little Richard. But
exactly.
They created rock and roll and created the music industry in Memphis that had a spinoff in Stax Records. Same thing happened in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, unbeknownst to people keep coming to Atlanta to try to find this, but they don't understand that everything was gravitated around the majors because the majors came here in 1990. They moved all of the satellite offices here. So everyone gravitated toward getting on the majors. But then
right.
the majors, after 3 years, the majors moved out. And people are still looking for this industry. or this infrastructure. Now, here's the whole thing about Atlanta. I'm giving you a little secret. Everything that you want to do is here in Atlanta, but Atlanta has never done the one thing that all of the cities have done who had music industries or strong infrastructure. There is an infrastructure here, but it's very fragile. They've never broken that one independent. I mean a real independent. Those companies and the companies that are here now that are backed up by the major labels, those are not independents. You see, those labels are backed up. I mean, those labels are backed up with millions of dollars. I'm talking about a real independent that can go down to a station, get played, or find a system to get played, and start selling records, start doing concerts. And what happens, that creates the infrastructure. So I'm not talking about just trying to take you to the majors. See, we have to get out of that mentality. The majors are struggling themselves because they're trying to find the strongest independent music or the strongest independent artists that's out there. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Because all these systems are against, you know, with that apartheid regime, you cannot get out there. So when I say breaking the one, I mean we have to utilize all of these new technological Silicon Valley innovations. All of our social media platforms, all of our streaming designs, our independent TV systems, you know, all your platforms. We have to combine. See, right now we have people. We keep fighting each other because everybody is. I don't want to really go through that dysfunction.
Yeah, because we only have a few seconds left.
Right.
This has gone so fast. So continue what you just said, and that'll be your closing.
Okay, but we have to work as a community. We have some systems. What I'm doing right now is that I am starting our company here is Starbreakers, and we're going to start the Starbreakers Radio College Radio Tour. And the reason we're doing that is because this is going to be a millennial movement. The millennials are 90 million strong here in the United States, and each one of them has a smartphone, an iPhone, some type of phone that they are looking at videos and they are listening to music.
Well, we have to sign off now, Jerry.
Okay.
I need another whole hour with you. This is Mama Etta. I'm here on Mama Etta's Corner and got Jerry King, and we're going to sign off. And I want you to have a very, very good week, and God bless. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.